Hey everyone, welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we're going to be talking about something that is absolutely essential to our health and well-being, something that many of us take for granted, light.
That's right, light. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking about, you know, being able to see where we're going. We're diving deep into the fascinating world of how light exposure impacts our sleep, our mood, our energy levels, you name it.
Exactly. We've got some really interesting research to dig into today. For this deep dive, we're looking at a couple of large-scale studies. The first one is the multi-ethnic study of atherosclerosis, or MESA for short.
And the second one is the Hispanic Community Health Study of Latinos. That one's often called HCHSL.
Right. Both of these studies involved thousands of participants from all across the United States. They give us a really good snapshot of how much light people are actually getting in their everyday lives.
And the really cool thing about these studies is that they use these special sensors to objectively measure light exposure.
Yeah, so we're not just relying on people's memories. You know, like, oh yeah, I think I spent a couple hours outside today. These sensors were tracking exactly how much light people were getting throughout the day.
And let me tell you, the results are pretty eye-opening.
Yeah, they really are. Like, prepare to be surprised, folks, because it turns out most of us are not getting nearly enough bright light.
Yeah, not even close. In fact, the average person in these studies was only spending about 1.2 to 1.5 hours in bright light each day.
1.2 to 1.5 hours. That's crazy low.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. We evolved to be outside, exposed to the sun's natural light for most of the day.
Right. Our ancestors were out there hunting and gathering, farming and building. They weren't stuck in offices and homes with artificial lights.
And now look at us. We spend the majority of our days indoors, under these dim artificial lights that just don't cut it when it comes to keeping our internal clocks in sync.
It's true. And this mismatch between our modern lifestyle and our ancient biology can have some pretty serious consequences for our health.
Okay, so we're not getting enough bright light. But what does that actually mean for our sleep and health?
Well, for starters, it can really mess with our circadian rhythm.
Right, our circadian rhythm, that's our internal 24-hour clock that regulates our sleep-wake cycle, hormone production, metabolism, pretty much everything, right?
Exactly. And when we don't get enough bright light, it's like our internal clock is constantly getting thrown off.
So it's like experiencing perpetual jet lag, even though we haven't traveled anywhere.
Precisely. And that can make it really hard to fall asleep and stay asleep. It can also affect our mood, our energy levels, even our metabolism.
Wow. So it's not just about how much sleep we get, but also about the quality and timing of our sleep, which are both heavily influenced by light.
Absolutely. And speaking of light, the studies also revealed some pretty fascinating variations in light exposure patterns between different groups of people.
Oh, like what?
Well, one of the most surprising findings was the difference in light exposure between men and women.
There's a light gap. Okay, spill the tea. Tell me more.
Well, the study found that men, on average, were exposed to significantly more bright light than women.
Wow, that is surprising. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's probably a bunch of different factors all coming together, you know? Like, think about occupational choices.
Right, yeah, men are still more likely to work in jobs that require them to be outside, like construction or landscaping or something.
Exactly. And then there's also leisure activities. Men might be more likely to spend their free time doing things like playing sports or going for hikes, you know, stuff that gets them outside.
That makes sense.
And then, you know, there might also be societal factors at play here, things like safety concerns that can sometimes limit women's opportunities to be outside, especially at night.
That's a really good point. So men and women are experiencing different levels of light exposure. But how does this difference actually affect their health?
That's the million-dollar question. And honestly, we need more research to really understand the full impact. But we do know that there are some differences in sleep patterns and health outcomes between men and women, and it's definitely possible that light exposure is playing a role.
So light exposure could be another piece of the puzzle when it comes to understanding those gender differences in health.
Exactly. It really highlights how important it is to consider individual factors when we're talking about optimizing light exposure for better health.
Man, that's getting more and more interesting.
Yeah.
It's like light is not this universal, one-size-fits-all element. It affects us differently based on our individual lives, even our gender. Now, I'm curious, did the studies find any other interesting variations in light exposure?
Oh, yeah, definitely. For example, they found that light exposure patterns changed quite a bit across different seasons.
Oh, right. You mean like we're getting more light in the summer and less in the winter?
Exactly. That's not exactly groundbreaking news, is it? I mean, we all know that. But what's interesting is how these seasonal shifts in light exposure actually mirror the changes in day length, you know, what we call the photoperiod.
So our bodies are kind of naturally attuned to these changes in daylight hours.
That's right. And it really highlights the deep connection between our biology and the natural world.
You know, I've definitely noticed that I feel more energized and upbeat during the summer months when the days are longer and I'm spending more time outdoors.
That's your circadian rhythm responding to those increased daylight hours. And then, you know, on the flip side, you might feel a bit more sluggish and down during the winter when there's less daylight.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So we've got this natural ebb and flow of light exposure throughout the year, but did the studies find any differences based on where people live, like geographically?
Actually, yes, they did. They found that light exposure patterns varied quite a bit depending on location in the U.S., particularly in relation to latitude.
Latitude? So you mean like people who live closer to the equator, they get more sunlight?
Exactly. The further south you go, the more bright light people were getting, especially during the winter. It's because those southern locations just have more daylight hours.
So even within the U.S., where you live can really impact how much light you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Never really thought about that before.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? It kind of shows how our environment can shape our health and well-being in ways we don't even realize.
Speaking of health, let's get back to how all this ties into sleep. We know that light's super important for regulating our sleep-wake cycles, but did these studies look at any specific outcomes related to sleep?
Oh, they did. They looked at sleep duration, sleep timing, and even something called sleep midpoint variability.
Sleep midpoint variability. What is that exactly?
So it's basically a measure of how much the middle point of your sleep time changes from day to day. Like, let's say you usually go to bed at 11 p.m. and wake up at 7 a.m.
Okay. Yeah.
Your sleep midpoint would be 3 a.m. But if your bedtime and wake-up time are all over the place, your sleep midpoint will shift around too. That's what we mean by variability.
Gotcha. So if I'm going to bed and waking up at different times each day, my sleep midpoint would be all over the place too.
Exactly. And guess what? The studies found a pretty strong connection between light exposure and this sleep midpoint variability thing.
So if I'm not getting enough bright light, or if my light exposure is like really inconsistent, that could totally mess with my sleep timing. Makes sense why I sometimes feel like I'm living in a different time zone. Uh-huh.
It's like your internal clock is just all over the place. Inconsistent light exposure makes it harder for our bodies to regulate our sleep-wake cycles. So we end up with these kind of wonky sleep patterns.
Yeah, and I bet it affects how rested we feel too, even if we're technically getting enough sleep overall.
Oh, for sure. Quality sleep is super important. When our circadian rhythms are out of whack, it can impact our energy levels, our mood, even how well our brains work.
All right, it all makes sense now. So we've talked about getting enough bright light, but does the timing of our light exposure matter too?
Oh, absolutely. Timing is key, especially for our internal clock. Remember, our bodies are designed to respond to those natural patterns of daylight and darkness.
Right.
Bright light in the morning actually helps to suppress melatonin production. Melatonin is the hormone that makes us feel sleepy.
So it's like our body's signal to wake up and get going.
Exactly. And then as the day goes on, light levels naturally decrease and our melatonin levels start to rise, getting us ready for sleep. But when we mess with this natural pattern by, say, being exposed to artificial light late at night, it can interfere with our sleep.
Oh yeah, I'm totally guilty of that. Scrolling on my phone, in bed, watching TV late at night, it's like I'm telling my brain to stay awake even though it's time to sleep.
Yeah, that blue light that comes from electronic devices, it's a real culprit. It's like kryptonite for our sleep.
Oh man, so even if I'm getting enough bright light during the day, if I'm on my phone all night, it'll still mess with my sleep.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a common problem these days. But the good news is, there are things you can do to minimize those negative effects.
Okay, tell me everything. How do I make light work for me instead of against me?
Well, first of all, be more mindful of the timing of your light exposure. Try to get as much bright light during the day as possible, especially in the morning.
So like go for a walk, have my coffee outside, stuff like that.
Exactly. That morning light really helps to set your internal clock for the day. And if you can't get outside, maybe try working near a window or even using a light therapy box.
Okay, good to know. Mm. What about at night? Any tips for reducing that blue light exposure?
Definitely. One simple thing is to just dim the lights in your home a couple hours before bed. It'll help your body wind down.
So like create that relaxing, sleep-inducing atmosphere.
Yep. And try to avoid screen time for at least an hour before bed. I know, it's hard.
Tell me about it.
But Even if you can't totally avoid screens, at least use the night mode or blue light filter setting on your devices.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've seen that. But I never really use it. Does it actually help?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It makes a big difference in how much blue light is coming from your screen.
Okay, I'm definitely going to start using that. Any other tips for managing my tech time at night?
Well, you can even get blue light blocking glasses if you're really serious about it.
Oh, interesting. I have to look into those. So much good advice here. I'm starting to see how I can actually take control of my light exposure to improve my sleep.
It's empowering, right?
Totally. Now, I'm curious, did those studies find any connection between light exposure and those other sleep-related variables we talked about earlier, like sleep duration and chronotype?
You mean whether someone's a morning person or a night owl?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, they did, actually. Turns out people who got more bright light during the day tended to sleep for a shorter amount of time at night.
Wait, so more light equals less sleep? That doesn't seem right.
It might seem counterintuitive, but think about it this way. When you get enough bright light during the day, your internal clock is better regulated, so you're more likely to have that nice, solid, efficient sleep.
So it's more about the quality of sleep than the quantity.
Exactly. Bright light during the day can help you sleep more soundly and wake up feeling refreshed, even if you sleep for a bit less time overall.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Okay, what about that chronotype thing? Did they find any link between light exposure and whether you're a morning person or night owl?
They did. People who considered themselves morning people tended to get more light exposure around sunrise.
So early birds are getting that dose of bright morning light that sets their internal clocks right.
Seems like it. It suggests that our chronotype, you know, whether we naturally like to wake up early or late, could actually be influenced by our light exposure patterns.
That is fascinating. I've always been more of a night owl, but maybe if I get more bright light in my morning routine, I can shift my sleep schedule earlier.
Hey, it's worth a try, right? Light's a really powerful tool for adjusting our sleep-wake cycles. Even small changes can make a difference.
This is so insightful. It's like light isn't just some passive thing in our environment. It's something we can actively use to improve our sleep and our health.
I'm totally with you on that. It's exciting to think about how we can use light therapy to address things like sleep problems, mood disorders, even jet lag.
Wow, it's like we're just scratching the surface of understanding the power of light.
For sure. There's so much more to learn. But what we do know is that light plays a huge role in our health and well-being.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. I never knew how much control we have over our light exposure. But before we wrap things up, I want to hear about the practical applications of all this research. What are some specific things people can do to get those benefits?
Great question. The good news is there are lots of simple and effective strategies we can use. Want to dive into those in the last part of our deep dive?
You bet. Let's talk strategy. Hit me with those practical tips for optimizing our light exposure.
All right. Well, first things first, we got to make daylight our new best friend. Try to aim for at least 30 minutes to an hour of outdoor time every day, especially when you wake up.
So like even just going for a walk in the morning or having my coffee outside, that can make a real difference.
Absolutely. That morning sunlight is like a reset button for your internal clock. Helps you feel more awake and energized all day long.
Okay, that makes sense. But, you know, we can't always be outside soaking up the sun, especially during the winter months or if we have jobs that keep us indoors. What about artificial light? Any tips for making our indoor environments more, you know, circadian friendly?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's talk about light bulbs. Choosing the right type of bulb can actually have a huge impact on your circadian rhythm.
Okay, so like what kind of bulb should we be looking for?
Well, during the day, try to use bulbs that emit a cooler, bluer light. That type of light is more similar to natural daylight and helps to suppress melatonin production, keeps you feeling alert and focused.
So, cooler light for daytime productivity. Got it. What about at night when we're winding down for the day?
In the evening, you want to switch to warmer, more amber-toned light. That's less likely to mess with your circadian rhythm and can actually help you relax and prepare for sleep.
Interesting. So it's all about mimicking that natural transition from daylight to evening light.
Exactly. And hey, you can even take it a step further by using smart bulbs. Those let you adjust the color temperature throughout the day. It's like having your own personal sunrise and sunset right in your house.
Whoa, that's pretty cool. Technology really can be helpful when it comes to like hacking our light exposure.
No doubt about it. And while we're talking tech, let's not forget about all those electronic devices that are constantly bombarding us with blue light.
Oh, right. Our phones, laptops, TVs, all the usual suspects. They can definitely mess with our sleep, but it's not like we could just ditch them completely.
True. But we can be smarter about how and when we use them. One thing you can try is to avoid screen time for at least an hour before bed.
Easier said than done.
I know, it's hard. But if you absolutely have to use your devices at night, at least make sure to use that night mode or blue light filter setting.
Yeah, I know those settings exist. Do they actually make a difference, though?
Oh, they definitely do. They cut down on how much blue light your device is emitting.
Okay, I'm sold. We'll start using those for sure.
Yeah.
What else can we do to manage our tech time at night?
Well, dimming the lights in your house a couple hours before you go to sleep can also be really helpful.
Yeah, create that nice, cozy, sleepy vibe. I like it.
And hey, if you're really having trouble with sleep, you can even wear blue light blocking glasses in the evening. They block out that disruptive blue light coming from all sources, not just your devices.
Okay, those sound like a game changer. I'm taking notes over here. This is all such good advice. I feel like I'm actually starting to understand how to make light work for me, you know?
I love that. Remember, even small changes to your daily routine can make a big difference.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener. I never realized just how much power we have over our light exposure and how important it is for our health and sleep.
It's been great talking about all this with you. Remember, folks, knowledge is power. The more you understand about the science of light, the better choices you can make for your well-being.
Well said. And to all our listeners out there, we hope you enjoyed this journey into the fascinating world of light and human health. We encourage you to give some of these strategies a try and see for yourself how even small tweaks to your light exposure can have a big positive impact. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.